seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I direct you to the second book of Samuel, chapter 12, and a part of verse 22. The second book of Samuel, chapter 12, and the clause in verse 22, who can tell whether God will be gracious to me? The second book of Samuel, chapter 12, and the clause in verse 22, who can tell whether God will be gracious to me? The Lord is a sovereign in how he deals with every one of his dear children. And the Lord was pleased here to use Nathan, his servant, to bring home to David what a solemn condition he was in. And how the Lord used Nathan to bring David to the point where he had to say, and may we each know in our own hearts in measure what he knew, that thou art the man. David was brought in guilty before a holy God. But we see too in it the wonderful mercy of God to David. Not only did he convince him of his sin, but he brought David to God-given repentance, God-given sorrow, and to truly weep over those sins. And not only that, the Lord forgave him of them all. What a mercy it is. There is one above who is able to forgive the blackest, vilest, and worst of sinners. And then we find the Lord solemnly deals with David because of that sin. And the fruit of that sin was the child born to him through Uriah's wife, and then the child died. And David was brought to see the solemn dealings of his God. And you know, we need to take heed and lay to heart, don't we? I was thinking much as we laid aside the last week, you know, of the solemn state of this nation. And how, as we mention in prayer, the Lord sent that wind and the rain and brought to the land to, in a moment, to the place where everything in many parts of it were brought to a standstill. We sing in the hymn, don't we? He raises monarchs to their throne and sinks them as he's pleased. Such is the power of our God. And David had to bow before the majesty of heaven, of his great power. But you see, the Lord loved David. He didn't love the sin that David committed. He doesn't love your sin or mine, does he? It's an abomination in the sight of God. But oh, what a mercy if he convinces us. Many go on and perish in their sin. But oh, to truly be brought where David was. You know, it's easy to say we're sinners. The hymn writer said all are sinners in God's sight, but few are sinners in their own. But David knew what it was to feel that sin and to weep and mourn over it, didn't he? And may we know in our own hearts more and more the vileness, the corruption, the wickedness there is in us, because it's these souls that are taught it by the Spirit that need the Lord's mercy. And there is mercy for sinners. I love that couplet of the hymn, "Mercy through blood, I make my plea. O God, be merciful to me." Well, much could be said about the context. These words seem to so rest upon me to bring before you. They came the other day with quite a measure of power. Who can tell whether God will be gracious to me? Particularly those first three words, who can tell? Really, they're wonderful words, isn't it? How many of God's dear children that are truly taught like David, their vileness and sin have to venture with this who can tell as they come to the Lord? There's a case that's rested upon me much today, and that is the case of Esther. You remember when she was to go into the king, she said, "If I perish, I perish." But she had to venture, didn't she? Then there was a who can tell in her heart that the king would have mercy upon her and compassion. And he did, didn't he? Now, do you know what it is to come before the Lord in your secret groanings and sighs with this who can tell? And you venture to him. And it seemed very confirming, really. We should sing that beautiful hymn just now concerning the dear woman with that issue of blood. You know, when she ventured to go to the Lord Jesus, she had tried all the means, all the physicians there were, none could heal her. Her case was too great for earthly physicians, too great for the doctors of the earth. But it wasn't too great, was it, to the great physician, the dear Lord Jesus? And she has to go with this who can tell for what he will be gracious to me. And she ventures with this who can tell. And it may be there's one tonight and you're saying this in your heart, but who can tell? I remember reading some years ago now of a dear young man that was under such deep conviction of sin under God's holy law. And the further he seemed to go each day, he seemed to get blacker and more vile and so full of sin and corruption. And the holy law of God seemed to condemn him on every side. And Satan said, "Oh, but there's no hope for you now. You'll be cast into hell. Your sins will never be forgiven." And you see, the temptations were so real. And the devil took full advantage. But you know, these words dropped into his heart. Who can tell, as the text says, whether God will be gracious? And that who can tell was such a help to him. He felt, well, if I venture to the Lord and he cuts me off and cast me into hell, I shall be able to even praise him there. That's how he felt. And he ventures to the Lord with all his case, and he goes up to the house of God with this who can tell that whether the Lord would be gracious, fearing that the servant of God would announce the text and it condemn him forever. But instead of that, there was this who can tell, and the Lord was gracious to him. And you see, the word preached gave him sweet encouragement to press on. There is mercy for sinners. There is mercy for the blackest. And the Lord, you know, was gracious to that dear young man. And he gave him peace in his soul and pardon. Who can tell? Do you know what it is to venture to the house of God with this who can tell? Satan may be beside you and roaring and saying, "Ah, oh, but you've not got a real religion. Your case is not to be preached." But you go up with this, who can tell whether God will be gracious to me? But to go back to the dear woman with the issue of blood that we've been singing on, you think how she ventured. You know, venturing faith is, as the old preachers used to say, the strongest faith. And you venture, don't you, with this who can tell whether the Lord will be gracious, whether he will speak, whether he will meet my case. And, you know, David had to come to this place. But there was one that could tell. And there was one that could tell with the dear woman as she pressed through the crowd. And you look how the Lord was gracious to her. He was gracious in several ways, really. First of all, he was gracious in looking in mercy upon her. He was gracious how he dealt with her case. You see, he gave her that faith, if she could but touch the border of his garment, she would be made whole. And you look how gracious he was. The virtue just flowed from him. You know, it's a wonderful thing, virtue is, isn't it? The Lord does grant virtue, healing virtue to his people. Not only did he grant her healing virtue in her body from an affliction she'd had for 12 years, but he gave her virtue in her soul, the virtues of faith, the virtue of love and of compassion and of mercy. And you look how he restored her completely. And not only that, he abundantly blessed her in her soul. I often quote those words, as many of you know, but they are very precious, what Christ said to her. Daughter. He spoke it in love, you know. And he breathed it right into her soul. Daughter. Be of good comfort. You see, she needed that comfort, didn't she? Not only in her body in the restoring, but she needed comfort in her soul because of all the disquiet and distress she'd been in days past. It had worn her right down. And then this virtue, you see, flows. And thy faith. A wonderful word is thy faith. You know, once in thinking upon that, in trying to preach from it, you know, it was a faith that was given particularly to that dear woman. It's thy faith, and may there be one here tonight. You're so tempted about your little faith, you're so tempted whether your faith is real at all. And there's that dear woman, you know, she went through some very testing times in her soul and in her pathway regarding her faith. But he says, thy faith, that is to say, the faith that he had given, that God had given her. Thy faith, it was hers. He'd given it to her. Thy faith. Not somebody else's, or what she'd manufactured herself. Men can, their natural religion, can manufacture a certain type of faith, but it's not real faith. But the faith that he gave this dear woman, he says, thy faith. That which God had given thee. And may it be so with one here tonight. You're troubled about your faith, but may the Lord whisper that to you. Thy faith. That which God has given. It may be ever so weak. It may be the size of a grain of mustard seed. And you know it's the mustard seed in the East is the smallest seed there is. It's hardly visible for the natural eye, but thy faith. Jesus said, didn't he, if ye had faith of a grain of mustard seed, ye should say to this mountain, depart into yonder hence, and it be done. That minutest grain of living faith given, thy faith. That made thee whole. Go in peace. Precious words, aren't they? Now may the Holy Spirit sweetly apply those to your soul tonight. Go in faith. Venture on in the journey. Venture to the feet of the Saviour. Tell him all thy case. Take it all to him. He will not turn these sinners away, you know. Oh no, he will not. What does the hymn writer say? Send them empty back, or fright them from the door. Oh no. Who can tell whether God will be gracious to me? So have you this, who can tell? There have been many times over the years where I've had to venture with a text and that all we can say, Lord, is who can tell for what thou wilt bless it. If the Lord gives his servants a text, they may never know the reason why he's given it. There's this who can tell in it. Sometimes it's manifested after many years. I remember the late Joseph Field at Sedgley, when the first sermon that he preached at Black Boys Chapel, his brother-in-law, Mr. Caddick, took him down there, drove him from Birmingham down to preach at Black Boys. And dear Joseph Field, you know, he ventured to preach the first time. And the Lord wonderfully helped him through that Sunday. But you know, he was ever so tempted about it afterwards, and for years he looked back and thought, well, was there anything done? And after 25 years, dear Mr. Bill Caddick came to join the church. And when he began to speak of what the Lord had done for him, he went back to that first sermon that Joseph Hill preached. And the dear man, you know, the dear servant of God, he said, I just wept as he opened his heart about that service. He said, you know, I ventured with that who can tell. But he said it was all in the hands of my God, and the Lord brought it to pass. After 25 years it was made manifest. You know, some of the hidden things of God we shall never know in time. But there are those that are hidden for a season. It's like his dear people, he has his hidden ones. Now I seek to be led into this. When the Lord gave it to me on Tuesday, sweetly dropped it in, and I had such sweet meditation on it, I could have come and preached then from it. But you know, since it's gradually seemed to dry up, so I venture with it tonight, with this who can tell. And so, have you come, you see, like that tonight? You go up, not only the servants of God go up with this who can tell, but his dear people. It may be regarding some of the hymns, and they've been sweet to you. You go up with this who can tell, that the Lord might lay those hymns in the hearts of the deacons to give out. Or you go up with the who can tell, that the word might be spoken during the discourse or read from God's holy word, and you go up with this who can tell. It speaks really of concern, doesn't it? Of gracious exercise. You see, David here was so concerned because of all he had fallen in sin, because of the Lord's solemn judgments brought upon him. But there's this who can tell in his heart that the Lord would be gracious. And then we think of Jonah, you know, when he went into the city of Nineveh. You remember, God commanded him to go, and it's like us. So often, you know, it's easy to take the ship to Tarshish, isn't it? And you look how that dear man was commissioned clearly to go to Nineveh and preach repentance to that city. But what did he do? There was that in his flesh that said, Lord, we're not going to do it. And that's what man is like by nature. There may be those of you exercise concern in following the Lord, and yet there's that in your nature that says, no, we can't do it. And you can't yourself. Jonah couldn't in and of himself go to Nineveh. But he takes the ship to Tarshish. It's an easy way out, wasn't it? Everything, when you look at it, everything went in his favour in getting that ship. There it was, waiting to take him. They go on the journey, it all looked fine, didn't it? Till the Lord caused the tempest in the sea to rise. And oh dear, Jonah had to be cast overboard, didn't he? And you know, as he was cast into that sea, there was a who can tell that the Lord would be gracious. And the Lord was, wasn't he? And you look how gracious the Lord was to dear Jonah. God had provided that very point, that fish in the sea to swallow him up. Oh, he had. There he was, waiting to swallow up Jonah. And you know, Jonah had to learn some hard lessons in that fish's belly, you know. And there was a who can tell in Jonah's heart whether the Lord would be gracious and bring him once again on dry land. And the Lord was gracious, wasn't he? You all know the sweet experience that is recorded there concerning him. But oh, what teaching there was in it for Jonah. You see, we ask the Lord to teach us, don't we? But we don't know what we got to go through to have that teaching. But there's one thing that's certain, the Lord will ever teach his dear people to profit. Man may teach this or teach that, but it may be to no profit at all. But when the Lord teaches his people, he always teaches them to profit. And you see, Jonah had to go in that fish's belly to learn real repentance and to learn the power of his God and to learn that only he could save. Like the hymn writer said, thou must save and thou alone. And then you think too how wonderfully the Lord caused the fish to vomit out Jonah. But then he speaks to him the second time. Go and preach to the city of Nineveh. Preach the preaching I will bid that I bid thee. And what does he do? He goes into that city and he preaches it. And oh, how they were brought from the king downwards to tremble and to confess their sin and to mourn before God. But oh, look at what was recorded in that third chapter. This same text. Who can tell? Who can tell? And you see, the Lord in his wrath concerning the city of Nineveh was to repent and turn for their good, wasn't it? Not that God has anything to repent over, but what it meant was this, like we read in the Psalms too, the Lord was to turn away from his face of anger to his face of love and of mercy toward them. Who can tell whether God will be gracious to them? Now, I don't know what you may be in this evening, poor sinner, but the Lord does. And he can tell you what it's all about and where you are and what you are and what you've got to walk through. You cannot tell, nor can I. So often the way is dark, so often the way is difficult, so often the way is trying. And we wonder whether we're in the way at all, but who can tell? Whether God, notice the wording of it, will be gracious. And then it is personal. To me. This should be the great concern of each of our hearts. We live in a day where so many are worrying about this one and that one and somebody else. I know we should be exercised and concerned about our loved ones and those about us and those in Zion that we love for the truth's sake and the prodigals that have wandered from the house of God. But you know, when it comes to the great hour of death, Lord, it'll be me. How stands the case, my soul, with thee? Oh, heaven, thy credentials clear. Is Jesus' blood thy only plea? Is he thy great forerunner there? Lord, be gracious to me. It's me, Lord, I'm the sinner. I need thy mercy. And he is gracious, you know. He said, didn't he, in that wonderful promise in the Old Testament that he would be gracious unto his people. And he will be. Right to the end of time. And as he's gracious to you, he'll supply your every need, both in providence, in your soul. And because he's gracious to you, he'll remove all that sin and unbelief that plagues you from time to time. And you can venture on in the journey. And because he's gracious, he will show you more and more of himself. Wonderful thing, isn't it? When we know a little of the communion with Christ. Him revealing himself. Him being gracious to us. You think how gracious the Lord was to dear Simon Peter, just like he was to David. When that cock crew, the Lord had told Simon Peter before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And you know, when that cock crew, the Lord looked at Peter. We know it was a look of deep conviction, but it was a look of love too, and the Lord was gracious to Peter. And what did he say to dear Peter? But I have prayed for him. Oh, a gracious Saviour praying for his dear people. You read John 17. Father, I will that they whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. Oh, the grace that shone in the Saviour. And you look how grace was to shine forth into the heart of dear Peter. I have prayed for thee. What for? That thy faith. That faith, go back to what I said earlier. Thy faith. Fail not. If it was left to us, our faith is soon failing, isn't it? Unbelief seems to prevail. But oh, that faith, though it may be almost as it were extinct, dried up, burnt out, but no, it will never fail. Because the Lord is the author of it, the finisher of it. What do we read in Paul's letter to the Hebrews, where he speaks in chapter 12, the author and the finisher of our faith. What a mercy that is, isn't it? It will be he that finishes it in landing the soul home in glory to crown him Lord of all. But I must leave it because of time. Oh, may the Holy Spirit sweetly encourage your seeking, longing soul with this word tonight. Who can tell? The hymn writer said, oh, not despair. We're often fearing we will, aren't we? Oh, not despair. For who can tell? And may we have that who can tell written in our hearts. You know, dear Joseph Hart, in the hymn, so often, especially in that 237th hymn, let us ask the important question. You know, he speaks about the both sides of a real religion. Ever sinking. You're often like that, aren't you? And as you begin to sink, there's this who can tell. What does the hymn writer say, dear Joseph Hart? Ever sinking, yet to swim. He'll never leave this soul that's got this who can tell wrought in their heart by God. He didn't leave David to perish in his sin, did he? He redeemed him from it all. Oh, he did. He loved him with an everlasting love. And may the Holy Spirit convey that to you tonight.